Without any further delay then, we'll now ask for your earnest attention whilst we call forward our speaker to give his remarks on Sodom and Gomorrah, a warning for today. Brother Arthur, please.
Good afternoon, everyone. Last week from this platform, we considered a catastrophic event in the history of man, even the destruction by Almighty God of all people upon the earth by a flood. That was, except Noah, a righteous man, a righteous God-fearing man, and his family. Why? What was the reason for this judgment upon mankind? Well, the scripture answers the question, and in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 we read, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." So we read that Noah was commanded to make an ark which rose above the waters upon the earth, an ark upon which God shut him in, thus saving him from the perishing with the wicked upon the earth, showing to us that God is merciful and is not willing that any should perish, but that man would turn from his evil ways, repent, turn from his evil ways, and turn unto God. This afternoon, we had to consider another catastrophic event in the history of man. This time, upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Cities which once stood on the fertile plain where the Dead Sea now is. That sea which is so salty, nothing can live in its waters. And we shall see that the reason for the destruction of these cities and its inhabitants by Almighty God was once again because of the evilness, the wickedness of man. Such was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities near. Not a thing is left. Not a thing is left of those cities or their inhabitants. Sodom and Gomorrah, with the cities of Admah, Zeboim, and Zoar, were located in the plain or the valley of the Jordan, and was before the catastrophic event an exceedingly fertile place. It was well watered, we are told, everywhere, and being such, was also well populated. From the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea is 65 miles. And the Dead Sea itself is approximately 53 miles long. But by the time the river which meanders through Israel has reached the Dead Sea, as we know now, the land has dropped away some 1,292 foot below sea level. It is now the lowest point on earth, whilst the deepest point of the Dead Sea is some 1,300 feet deeper still. Yet according to geologists, this area was once a great inland fresh lake, implying that the vast geographical changes before and after the judgments of God upon it. This once fertile area is now, as we have said, and some sitting here with us this afternoon have witnessed it, is no more than an arid waste and salt-encrusted place, barren of all forms of life. Barren of all forms of life. the judgment of God coming upon it. God being a God of love and mercy, who is not willing that any should perish, there must have surely been a very good reason why he acted in the way he did regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. And surely it must be to our advantage to find out why God destroyed that place. To do so, we have to go back into history, to the days of that man of faith, the father of the faithful, Abraham, to whom God gave great and wonderful promises regarding himself and those of like precious faith in God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1. And there we read, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, and to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, but they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, because we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the garden of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And so we read that Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, this well-watered place, before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He journeyed east and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Abraham pitched his tent in Canaan, the land in which God had promised that he would inherit forever in the future. Now we read that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before God exceedingly, which should have been really a warning for Lot to stay clear from this accursed place. But in fact, Lot ended up in the gate of Sodom, the place where the rulers of Sodom met. In Genesis 18 and verse 16, we read of a visit by Abraham by three angels of God, who told him that they were concerned with the sinfulness of Sodom, and said they had come down from heaven to see the things for themselves, but wished to tell Abraham of what they were about to do. Such was the esteem of this righteous man before God. Such was the esteem God had of this righteous man. God sent his angels to tell Abraham what he was going to do. And after making a meal for his visitors, Abram was told of their errand. They were told, verse 1, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. These three men were speaking on behalf of God, and they were going down to see whether what they had heard was altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, says one of them, and if not, we will know. Abraham, realizing that Lot dwelt in Sodom with his family, and so therefore pleaded with the angels that they would not destroy the righteous in Sodom with the wicked. Turn to Genesis 18 and verse 24. Peradventure, says Abraham to these men, if there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, one of them speaking, a manifestation of God, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham was mindful of Lot and his family. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which but dust and ashes. Peradventure there are like five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And Abraham keeps on to the angel, and we read in verse 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The angel said they would not destroy Sodom, this city, with Admah and Zeboam and Zoar. The angel said he would not destroy it if there were 10 righteous people within that city. He pleaded with the angels, and the angel told him that he would not destroy Sodom if there were 10 people there. And so we call now from the narrative of where Abraham is with the angels, and we go to Sodom. And Sodom is there sitting in the gate of the city. Lot is there sitting in the gate of Sodom, and he sees two men coming towards him at the gate. These were two of the angels that spoke with Abraham. They sees them coming into the city. Lot being in the gate of the city, the very place where the government of Sodom, we might say, met. And it was evening time when these men came into the city, not knowing at that time that these men were angels. Lot being given us an indication of the unsavory state of that city, goes out to them and extends them to them the hospitality of his house. Lot was quite aware what Sodom was like, especially after dark. He was not willing for them to stay in the streets in the night. Such a sinful place after dark. And we are very similarly getting the same in the world, are we not, today? Only the other day, it was mentioned that one of the streets where people meet in the nights in Swansea would either have to be policed, or they would have to make a curfew there because of such things that was going on then. Turn to chapter 19 and verse 2. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, nay, but we'll abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did break unleavened bread. Then we find verse 4, But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed their house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them what is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed so upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and put Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of this house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. What a state of affairs we have here. The angels now had no doubt seen enough of Sodom. They had seen enough of Sodom. They could not retire in the streets of the night in Sodom, such a wicked place it was. And that word know, when it said they broke the come to the door, and they said to bring up the men that we might know them. That word know there means to know intimately. The word is yadar in the Hebrew, the very same word used when Adam knew his wife and she conceived a son. Without doubt, Lot, knowing the men of Sodom and their wicked ways, realizing the situation, went out, as we said, to plead with the men. But the angels now had seen enough of Sodom to realize how the wickedness was so great. And they said to Lot, Hast thou here any besides sons-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. And as is evident today, sodomy was rife in the place, and God's judgment was about to fall upon it. Calling to him his sons-in-law, Lot told them to leave the city, as it was about to be destroyed. But they seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Turn with chapter 19 and verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up you, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. Yes, they mocked. They had been taken up with the cities. Lot's family had become involved in the city, and they mocked and laughed when Lot said that God was going to destroy the place. When the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the angel laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. They brought him forth and set him without the city. They were told quite plainly that once they left the city, the judgment of God would fall upon that accursed place. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Such was the place. They were to get away from it. And once the righteous was let leave, God would bring his judgments and destroy the place. just as in AD 70, when Titus moved his army away from the siege of Jerusalem, the righteous were given a chance to flee to Pella. God does not destroy until he warns people. But Lot's wife, we're told, disobeyed and looked back. Whether for her love of the place, whether because of its way of life which she had been taken up with, or because of her children who would not heed the words of the angels and remained in Sodom, we are not told. But she disobeyed. She disobeyed the word of God. Lot's wife became entangled in the fire and the brimstone, the burning salt and sulfur in the air caught her unawares, and she was enveloped in the falling ash and perished when the hand of God came down in righteous judgment upon the accursed place. The goodness of God, we have seen, was toward Lot, who was a righteous man, who, though being foolish and staying in that evil place, his children getting involved with it and his very wife being taken in with it, he lost his daughters and his sons-in-law who mocked, and he also lost his wife who looked back at the place. Lot and his two daughters, who obeyed the angels, escaped unharmed. A lesson, a warning for us today, is it not? God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. Lot was extremely foolish, leaving the plains and to go and live in the city of Sodom. But, says the Apostle Peter in his epistle, he vexed his righteous soul with the wickedness of that city and spoke against their evil ways. Turn with that chapter our president read to us, the second epistle of Peter, chapter 2 and verse 4. 2nd epistle, chapter 2 and verse 4. But if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live afterwards, live ungodly. A warning for today, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation or manner of life of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak of dignities. And we carry on in that chapter, and we come to the verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And we are mindful of Lot's wife and his family. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed were wallowing in the mire. It is it not, a warning for us today? It cannot be denied that the sins of Sodom and the destruction of the city is set forth and as an example for all generations since. As our title proclaims, it is a warning for today. One writer, in speaking of the destruction of Sodom, said, its greatest sin was not merely the prevalence of immorality. It wasn't merely the prevalence of immorality, but just as we have it today, the attitude of the people toward it. The attitude of the people towards wickedness. It was committed without shame or any attempts to hide it. And is this not the characteristic of the world which you and I live in today? The filth that is poured out on the television screens, and there's no objection to it whatever. The people enjoy it. In 1895, the playwright Oscar Wilde was tried, convicted, and sentenced to 2 years imprisonment of hard labour. 2 years imprisonment of hard labour for being involved in homosexuality. Such were the laws of the land in Great Britain at the turn of the century. In Aberdeen there was a man that was caught in the act of sodomy, and everybody frowned upon it, and everybody thought it was disgusting. But now the people of the land accept it as a normal way of life. They accept it as a normal way of life. Yet this problem has almost destroyed the Church of England because they do not know their Bibles. We might ask the question, is it acceptable now in the sight of God? Has God a different standard for the people of today than he did in the days when Sodom and Gomorrah were thriving cities? Of course, there's no difference. Turn with me to Malachi in chapter 3, the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Third chapter of Malachi and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord shall me seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom he delight in, whom he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, and who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like full of soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and in former years. And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless. I turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, and not consumed. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God warns rebellious Israel for their ways and tells them, I change not. God has not changed. And the Apostle Paul shows this clearly and plainly in his epistle to the Romans in chapter 1. Shall we turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans in chapter 1 and verse 18. When speaking of the wickedness of man. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The Apostle Paul could have written that epistle for the days in which you and I live. He could have written that epistle for the days in which you and I live. One writer wrote, the sin of Sodom and the destruction of the city is set forth, as we said, for an example for all time. References to the judgment are found throughout the Bible. And when they are drawn together, they provide a typical foreshadowing of the conditions that are now developing throughout the world today. On a scale never known in history, with greed, brutality, beastliness, and criminal instincts in the ascendancy. All these things we witness in the world today. The prisons of this country are full to capacity. Man is having his evil way throughout the earth, and the jails are full because of the wickedness of man. The history of Sodom, as to the days of Noah, are being repeated before our very eyes. And the world is heading towards a terrible crisis in which, as the case of that evil city Sodom, the political heavens and earth, together with the elements thereof, shall be overwhelmed by fire. the judgments of God which are about to come upon this wicked world. Sodom's greatest sin, as we have said, was not merely the prevalence of immorality, but the attitude of the people toward it, as is the attitude of the people today. As the apostle spoke of his day, men were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They don't want to know the Bible. They don't want to have the conscience being pricked by reading the Bible. They would rather put it one side and carry on in their own wicked way. The Lord Jesus Christ warned his disciples that the day that he would return, this would be the state upon the earth. Turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so said the Lord Jesus, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. No mention of marriage. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it, and so forth. The Lord Jesus said to those who bewailed and lamented him as he was carrying his cross to be crucified. They were crying and wailing after him. He turned around and he said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never give suck. Then shall they say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. But if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" It was only 30 years after the Lord spoke those words to those people, the terrible judgment fell in AD 70, and the Roman army came, destroyed their temple and their city, and scattered the people throughout the earth. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in AD 70, and as it shall be in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ's return, when he comes in judgment upon this wicked world. The Apostle Peter said in his epistle, the people of his day were willingly ignorant, as they were in the day of Lot, as they were in the days of Noah. They were willingly ignorant. They didn't want to know. They didn't want to know God, and they didn't want his ways. And so the judgments fell, and they were destroyed with it. Is not the world today as it was in the days of Noah, when violence filled the earth and men's hearts were only evil continually? And as it was in the day when Lot, when evil and wickedness and sodomy and homosexuality prevailed and violence filled it, we cannot deny it. We cannot deny it. We cannot deny the things that are going on in the world about us today, which are exactly the same. And this earth is ripe for judgment. And it is predicted it will come, and come it will. May we heed the warning of the Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel record, chapter 21 and verse 25. Luke's Gospel record, chapter 21 and verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity, no way out. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation, the generation which you and I live, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and that to stand before the Son of Man. Yes, these terrible judgments we have read of will fall. God's judgments will fall upon the earth. Is no doubt whatever about that. For as the Apostle Peter tells us in his second epistle in chapter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, long-suffering to you and I, not willing that any should perish. He wasn't willing that any perished in the time of Noah, at the time of Lot, at the time of 1870. But that all should come to repentance. But what must be remembered is that we have the opportunity to escape the crisis. We have the opportunity to escape the crisis. For as we have said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But we must remember that in the apocalypse we read, behold, says the Lord Jesus, I come as a thief. He will come as a thief to the world, but we pray not to the household of faith. Here we have the goodness and the severity of God revealed. Noah and his family were saved by the ark, which rose above the waters. Lot was saved, heeding the words of the angels. The faithful in AD 70 were able to escape the siege when Titus withdrew his army for a while from the city, and they heeded the words of the Lord Jesus to escape. You and I have also a way of escape, that we will not be caught up in these terrible judgments that are about to come upon the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Chapter 26. In that chapter the prophet says, speaking of the righteous in the day of the Lord's returning judgment, he says, come my people, That is those that will heed his words. Those that are righteous and will heed his words. Come, my people. That is those who walk in righteousness. Enter thou into thy chambers. Shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be over and past. For the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. So here we have the warning, and here we have the word of God. Come, my people, be baptized into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take upon yourselves the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he returns in judgment, we read as Isaiah, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be over. What a wonderful blessing it is to walk into the word of God. So we have the warning, and we have too the love and mercy of God shown toward us, showing us how we can escape the judgments that are to come. May we enter into that ark of refuge, taking upon ourselves the name of the Lord Jesus through the waters of baptism, and walking in that new way of life, that when he returns, we might have a part and a place in that glorious kingdom, and not be destroyed with the wicked of this earth when he comes.